Talking about radical forgiveness today, did you know that in the famous Lord's Prayer, there is one conditional clause? Have you noticed this? And I just want to read this as just a touchstone for the topic of the day as we end this little sermon series. It says, verse 12 of Matthew 6 in Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, depending on the translation, "And forgive us our debts, our trespasses, our sins," oh, here it is, "as we" what? "Forgive our debtors and those who have sinned against us." Ooh, let's pray. Father, thanks for a beautiful day. Thanks for what you're doing in people's lives. We thank you that the righteous dead still speak. We think of Norma and her legacy. We think of seeds planted. We thank you for we get to be a part of your kingdom here in this time and place. And so, Lord, we know life can be hard. And so, Lord, as we talk about forgiveness and the importance of it in our lives, we think, oh, this is Christianity 101 in so many ways. You call us not to hate our enemies, but to love them. And that's tough, but it can be done in Jesus Christ. And so we thank you for that. We pray that you give us eyes that see and ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name we always and only pray, saying amen. All right. So concluding this little fall series, back to basics, I think there are certain core ideas, practices in the Christian life that's vital for us. We've talked about radical loving. We've talked about radical giving so far. I want to conclude, say a few things about what it means for us to be radical forgivers this morning, just like the Lord Jesus in all that we say and do. And as we've said in the past, want to remind us, we've talked about this, it's important, but there are significant differences. So I want to kind of break it down a little bit in the little message time here today. Want to talk about the difference between forgiveness, reconciliation, and trust. I think there's a lot of wonky teaching out there in Christian churches, and I think we need to have another look here maybe this morning, right? If we don't understand the differences between these things, we're inviting, as believers in Jesus, a lot more heartbreak into our lives, and that is not God's will for you in Christ Jesus, right? You know, you look at today's world, and, you know, the kids these days, it's like, well, no, I mean, we sort of gave them this world, so repent. You know, the old-fashioned ideas of charm, civility, and poise, those seem to be over in our society today, have you noticed? Right? And yet as Christians, why are we surprised that the world that doesn't know Jesus goes to knives at the drop of a hat? We're like surprised. Why'd they do that? Well, because they don't have Jesus. Yes, I'm simple like that. Why would we expect the world to heed and follow the Lord Jesus Christ's words and teaching, especially in the areas of forgiveness and reconciliation? Right? Holy smokes, we've seen some things, and some of you are old enough to remember other political assassinations like JFK and MLK and now Charlie Kirk. Did you catch what his wife Erica did in front of the national stage? She said, "I forgive this young man." She wasn't playing people. That's Christian love. These people were profoundly Christian. I don't care what your politics are. That's what God calls us to. What a perfect example. Much more could be said. Check out the videos. But, you know, why are we surprised that the world doesn't understand forgiveness and reconciliation? I think what's really scandalous is when Christians and even churches are so frequently at odds, when we're at each one another's throats about dumb stuff, typically, right? Isn't it because we've forgotten Jesus' golden rule? Remember the golden rule? Because it's related to Jesus' greatest commandment, loving God with our all and loving our neighbor as ourselves, right? Remember the golden rule? You will do unto others as others do unto you. But don't we have to confess that we take our cues from the world sometimes? I sometimes call this the opposite. It's the business person's or lawyer's rule. They will switch it, and they will say, instead of Jesus' words, you know, "do unto others as you would have done to you," they say, "do unto others before they do unto you." You got to get them, right? That's what the world is saying to us. Jesus' beloved disciple, John reminds us, we've sang the old songs from the 70s. They will know we are Christians by what? Our love. I don't care. You do not, oh, I've said it, I'll say it again. You do not get a pass on hate as a Christian. Amen? You don't get a pass on hate. Well, they did. So what? You're a follower of Jesus. And I wouldn't just say do better, but be like Jesus, right? Pray for the Holy Spirit. It's hard. I get it, right? But you can't do it on your own. They're not going to know us by our jobs, by our education, by our money, by our 401ks, not even by our families, but by our love. And that's why we've said that our first core value here as a church at Mosaic is that we will be a radically loving church. Now, again, we've talked about this. Love is not what you make it to be. We prefer to say, as the great St. Thomas Aquinas said, love is willing the good of another. And no kickbacks. I don't get nothing back. I want God's best for you in Christ Jesus, apart from what you could give me or not give me. And we will be, secondly, a radically giving church. And our third core value is that we will be a radically forgiving church. Now, I confess that I've discovered many strange and contradictory teachings about this idea of radical forgiveness. You know, some of Jesus' teachings are hard, right? He says, you will be like sheep among wolves. Why are we surprised again by that? He already told us, right? I mean, why if they crucified the master, why do you think you get a pass? You're like, well, I'm not sure I like this Christianity thing. It's not easy, but it is the best, amen? Yeah, so yeah, Jesus says you will be like sheep among wolves. He also says, Matthew 10:16 later, he says, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. I think Christians sort of get the idea of the doves things, but what about being, that's another message, somebody, shrewd as snakes. That's a big difference between being shrewd like a snake and being a snake, right? Big difference. That's a whole nother, yeah, we better get to that one at some point as well. So I want to talk about differences, forgiveness, reconciliation, and trust. We really need to get these right as followers of Jesus. And what happens if you look at these three pieces, they don't all happen at the same time, do they? And that's really important for us to know, right? Let me say a few things about forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is in some ways Christianity 101. It is a hallmark virtue. We all struggle with it at one point or another in our lives. I get it. And yet we are commanded. Did you know that Jesus' words about forgiveness is a command? It's a command. You don't get to choose if you follow Jesus. If you grew up praying the Lord's Prayer, again, one conditional statement, forgive us our trespasses, our debts, our sins, as we forgive one another. Ooh, it's a tough one. And for the world, they're not going to understand this. They're like, you know, I'm happy to hate my enemies. Well, that's easy and kind of convenient for a minute, right? This is not something lightly or casually commanded by the Lord. And you may have heard all kinds of what I call ridiculous and pious nonsense about this idea of forgiveness over the years. Forgiveness is a really serious and beautiful thing. So let's start off what forgiveness is not, because I hear kind of dumb stuff in the churches of Jesus Christ on this one. Well-meaning, but not good. So when you have been hurt, when you have been deeply wounded by another person, this is what forgiveness is not saying, okay? Forgiveness is not saying it wasn't a big deal. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying it didn't really hurt. It did. It really did. Forgiveness is not saying it didn't really matter. It doesn't matter. It does. And forgiveness is not saying, ooh, be careful of this one, somehow I deserved it. No, you didn't. That's not what forgiveness is. If you've been deeply hurt by someone, it was a big deal. It really did hurt. No amount of verbal semantics, mental gymnastics, ridiculous spiritual language will change that. And here's the deal. If you try and ignore it or bury it, because we've all done it, right? If you try and ignore it or bury it, it will come back to you sooner or later, and it will morph into some ugly stuff. It will morph into anger, bitterness, and rage, and especially unforgiveness. Forgiveness begins in our lives when we actually acknowledge and name the hurt in our lives. Because you don't need me to tell you that it hurt, that it's a heavy weight on our hearts. It will steal your joy and your freedom as a follower of Jesus. You know this. And unfortunately, it isn't at all uncommon for people to carry the weight and heavy hurt of unforgiveness around for years. I remember Wayne sharing a man that he knows was it like 60 years, Wayne? That guy was mad at the other dude because the other dude had dated his wife before he married her, and he was just enraged. And it's like, dude, it's been 65 years. Let it go. I mean, do I have to sing the Disney song? Let it go. No, I will not. Anne-Marie can do that. Anyway, we'll move it on. You don't want me to sing. I like to sing. The practical problem is that unforgiveness compounds in our lives. It's like terrible interest. It's a terrible investment, kind of like new cars. So I'm using this as justification because everybody knows I drive pieces of crap and I don't care. You drive a new car off the lot and you drop like $5,000-$7,000 right now, right? Oh, but I gotta, because it smells nice. Get an air freshener. But that's not really what the sermon's about. I can't forgive you for saying that. Okay. My point is that anger, rage, and bitterness, they're like ulcers in our souls. You want a spiritual ulcer? Traffic in that stuff for a while. It will harm you spiritually. Worse, and it will make you very unpleasant to be around, right? If you notice how this kind of works. For example, kind of like the time, for years I've been taking a week going down to Florida. My folks have a little place down there, and my mom still goes down there. And, I love Florida. Greg's from Florida originally. Not a very nice place, but Jacksonville. But anyway, I'm in a nicer place. And, they live in a senior community. Uh-oh. That sounds great because you keep the kids and the riffraff out, really? If you have unforgiveness in your heart and your life, guess what? That travels with you. This is how it works, right? and I love the sunshine and the palm trees of Florida, even though it's getting pretty busy down there. But I've noticed in senior communities, they can be pretty unpleasant, right? And the people who go down there can be unpleasant, especially if they're from New York. How can you say that? Well, I'm an ex-New Yorker. I hate everybody equally. It's a problem. Problem! Forgiveness, right? I love all that down there, but much to my horror, I have noticed, and I shared this in Norma's service yesterday, I've discovered that, you know what the most popular pastime for many of the men down in Florida is? It's to wear plaid pants, pull them up to their necks, right, and complain full-time about the government. It's really boring. And then in their free time, they cruise around the malls looking for the ultimate soft serve yogurt. Is that what you want your life to be about as you age? I hope not. Yuck, right? But who are the seniors that you know or have experienced, right, who are wise, loving, and joyful, as well as a pleasure to be around? Here's the deal. And we saw this with Norma's funeral yesterday. She's unfortunately one of the rare souls that aged well. Most older people don't age well. You know what I'm talking about? Eesh. You may know some of these folk. You may be becoming one of those folk. You still have time. You still have time. Praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I guarantee those rare men and women who are beautiful as they age, they know a lot about forgiveness. They are experts at this. They know the blessing of being spiritually free. They've accepted and experienced the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and they in turn extend that grace to other people, right? Whether they deserve it or not. Why do we think that forgiveness is based on merit? Or you deserve it. Yeah, I guess I can forgive you. I think you deserve it. You just missed the point, right? We make it so hard, or as our deacon Wayne Copeland has reminded me on several occasions over the years, forgiveness is given. Forgiveness given. Yeah? Okay. Forgiveness is a choice that you or I can make, right? That means, practically, it means getting down on your knees before Almighty God and declaring out loud that we forgive that person by name for what they did to us. I know every one of you has some stuff in the closet, right? I don't. I'm a pastor. I got it all together. Ask my wife. No, please don't ask my wife. I will be outed terribly. Yeah, but we're all in this boat, right? We forgive. And here's the deal. You may have to do that a lot. I dare you to get on your knees and forgive and ask the Holy Spirit, help me to forgive this person. Do it 1,000 times. And guess what? It'll actually start happening. That's God's economy. It's awesome, right? We forgive that person by name for what they did to us. And you may have to do it a lot. It is a gift. Forgiveness is a gift that you can give. It really is. That's why our core values here at Mosaic include, Mosaic Church will always be radically giving and forgiving. I've said this before, I learned precious lessons from my African-American sisters in Chicago. They told me, they instructed me, I learned from them that forgiveness is a gift you also give yourself. And some of these women had been through horrible, unspeakable things. Yeah, but then I'd go to hell. I'm too much of a coward for that. I don't know. Choices, right, Rick? Yeah, when you forgive, you effectively take away the power that another person had over you. Isn't that cool? You become free from anger, bitterness, and resentment. Once again, you're open again to love and joy. That is powerful. Isn't that good? Well, okay, let's go to part two. Secondly, let's talk about a couple words about reconciliation. Now, here's the deal with forgiveness. Forgiveness you can do on your own with God's help, right? It can be a one-way street. You know, well, you know, because I think a lot of times we're asking people to come up to us and ask, it's easy when they ask for forgiveness, right? More or less, unless they're real dirtbags, and that can happen too. But usually they're not going to come asking for your forgiveness, are they? We've said this 1,000 times. Say it again. It's like, you know, you're in your bed 3 a.m. looking up at the ceiling fan in the summer. It's going, I hate that dude. I hate that guy. That woman is awful. And they're sleeping like a baby. Oh, the injustice of it all. How about flip it with God's economy? Amen. Man, you don't have to live that. Reconciliation, forgiveness can be a one-way street. Here's the deal with reconciliation. It requires both people or groups to be engaged in it. If you want it to be really effective, it's a two-way street, right? You can do your part, but unless they do their part, you're done. It's okay, you know, because some people are just butts, right? You can't control that, so stop trying to control it. You know, they say, you know, what's the definition of crazy? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? Some of y'all need to get off the merry-go-round. Do they still have those? Those are too dangerous on children's schools now. Man, the things we did with merry-go-rounds are criminal. But I'm early Gen X. But anyway, reconciliation is kind of a two-way street. Latin word, reconciliare. You know what this means? It means to win back. We're winning back. We're restoring a situation. Isn't that a Jesus thing? Oh, that's the gospel there. But, you know, you can only do your part. as a human being, right? Good news is relationships can be restored. That requires an open and honest sharing of mutual hurts and mutual forgiveness and a mutual desire to mend the relationship. And that can be hard and really painful stuff, but it's absolutely essential if it's going to be effective. Okay, now sometimes this is where it's really helpful to have an impartial mediator, right? That can be really helpful. A mutual friend, a pastor, a counselor. Now, unfortunately, sometimes only one person or one party is committed to the reconciliation process. So you can do your part, but if they choose not to do their part for one reason or another, you're done, and that's where it sits, and that's okay. That's okay. You do what you need to do before the Lord. Paul says this, I love this verse, Romans 12:18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Why you got to be fighting with everybody? I mean, wonder of wonders. I mean, you know, Bitterrooters are very serious about people encroaching on their stuff and their land, I've noticed, in the last 12 years. And Lord help you if you mess with their water rights. People still get shot about that stuff. It was a wonder to me because I'm from the Great Lakes. We got too much water and rain. Everything's green and humid. I don't miss that part. But out here, it's still a very precious commodity. Are you at peace with your neighbors, literally? Why don't you love on them, even if they're butts? Right? You can do this in Jesus. Man, my neighbor, I love him, God bless him. He, old Bitterrooter, just don't touch my stuff, don't whatever. And you know, I decided I'm going to make a game. My wife's really good at this. I'm going to love on this guy. I learned from her. My wife, when we lived in the Bronx in New York City, there's a crusty old Italian dude. And he used to water his flowers and just scowl every single morning, just ugh. And every morning on the way to the train, the subway, she'd be like, good morning, ugh. 2 years later, he started saying, good morning, and I'm like, I hate that dude, this crusty Italian guys, I just want to pound him. You know, and then I was like, oh, okay. I said, good morning. My wife says, good morning. And he's like, good morning. And I say, good morning. He's like, ugh. I didn't do the work, but I want the prize, I guess. My neighbor, ugh. I decided to love on him. You know what, this year, he went from an old crusty dude, he got saved. And you know what he's doing now in the winter? He's plowing my driveway. I did. I was like, who's plowing my driveway? This is awesome. I finally texted him. I said, are you plowing my driveway? He said, yeah. It's like, sweet. Sweet. That's reconciliation. We're so satisfied with little stupid, you know, short end stuff. Go for the big ones, right? That's why I made my kids. Is Chuck E. Cheese still a thing? Was that ever a thing out here? Or is that just kind of a Midwest insane, you know, kids go there and lose their minds and eat pizza and drink too much caffeine, play games. California. Is California thing? Yeah, of course it is. It's insane. But anyway, yeah, we had that. And I always made my kids, when they got the tickets, I'm like, well, we got a decision here. You want the trinkets and the garbage, you know, the little things you get, or you want to collect these tickets and get the big top shelf item? And they were like, yeah, I want that good one. I'm like, well, let's hold on to the tickets. Let's put them in the bag. We're going to get that one eventually, aren't we? And they got it. Don't you want more? I mean, it's your birthright as a Christian. If it's possible, live at peace with everyone. I know some of them you can't. You just got to like, dude, that's the good fences make good neighbors. That's the world for you, right? And I understand sometimes you got to do that policy, but we can probably do better in most cases as Christians. Peace is one of the most beautiful fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? You know, we're satisfied with peace if it's an absence of war. As Christians, you know, the Old Testament Hebrew word is shalom. Shalom doesn't just mean peace, it means wholeness. everything is good in a holistic way. Ooh, that's what we want. We're living for bigger things, aren't we? All right, thirdly, finally, the matter of trust. Now, many Christians, to their own hurt, have foolishly confused forgiveness with trust. Don't you dare. Don't you dare. They've been wrongly taught that if you forgive a person, you must automatically trust them again. Have you heard this teaching? This is backwards, wonky. Don't. Do not. Right? This is nonsense. Nothing could be further from the truth. Again, remember that Jesus does not call us to be snakes. He calls us to be as shrewd and clever as them, right? Okay, we need this one. Trust is earned over a long period of time. Tragically, it can be lost in a moment, in a New York minute, right? Many of you know this. For a person to have their trust betrayed, this can be incredibly painful. Some of the most painful things in life, right? Didn't the Lord Jesus know all about this? Right? You know the story, right? He got stabbed in the back, so to speak, by his friend Judas. You know, in a worldly sense, if you look at the 12 disciples, I mean, most of these guys were, none of them would make a Fortune 500 company, let's just say, in a worldly sense, except Judas. You know, he knew the three R's, read and write and arithmetic and all this, and he had plans. If you watch the Chosen series, the way they develop him is just amazing. Watch his face. Wow, we were talking about that on Wednesday night this week. Wow. Jesus was betrayed with all things a kiss. Isn't that horrible? The Judas kiss. And you know, I bet there's a lot of you here today. I know I've experienced it, the utter shock and heartbreak of the Judas kiss. And you've seriously wondered if you could ever recover from such an experience. And here's the great news. Yes, you can. Healing is possible. But it won't be possible unless you understand the differences between forgiveness, reconciliation, and trust. And you can, with the help of God, choose to forgive. Which is also, it will free you. Again, as I was taught by my African-American sisters in Chicago, it is a gift you also give not only that person, but you give yourself. And when you give it to yourself, you experience the freedom from anger, bitterness, and resentment. Those are spiritual ulcers. They're cancers. Do not traffic in those. You can pursue and do your part to reconcile with another person, an offending person, but they have to be courageous and humble enough to pursue reconciliation on their end, right? It's a two-way street. But trust is only earned over time, right? I have learned the hard way that you can forgive someone from the heart. From the hurt that they caused. That allows me to move on with my life, but given that person's actions and tendencies to repeat those hurtful actions, I would not trust them as far as I could throw them across Main Street. And you know, there's some people that I wouldn't mind trying to throw across Main Street. It's not sinful, it's just being honest. I didn't do it. I wish I could have. There's laws against that. These days. What about the good old days? Anyway, trust is earned over time, is my point, right? Again, it takes lots of time, and until then, I adopt a posture of show me, don't tell me. I go to Missouri, it's the show me state, right? Show me, don't tell me. And over time, if you do the work, I might give you a little bit. Here, a little bit more trust. Here we go. Right? So there you have it. You know, lots of things could be said about these topics, but hopefully this gives you a few things to ponder today, as well as about praying in your own life. So here's a little summation, right? Remember these things. Forgiveness is a choice, and it is an act of the will. It's really key if you want to be free from anger, bitterness, and resentment. You don't want that garbage in your life, right? You don't want it. Secondly, reconciliation means to win back, to restore a relationship. It requires mutual sharing of hurts and mutual forgiveness and full commitment by both people to be truly effective. You can do your part, and let me encourage you to do your part. But if they're not doing their part, the two-way street, then you're done there, and it's okay. You don't have to feel bad about that. Don't you dare, right? You cannot make choices for other people. Have you noticed this? I spent a lot of years trying to help people make their choices because pastors usually have a Messiah complex. And then I realized one day I woke up and I realized, oh, I'm not Jesus. I just serve him. Oh, Lord, pray for me. I know Norma did every day, so you better pick up the slack. Lord. Finally, wrapping up, trust. It's earned over a long period of time. You can forgive someone, you can reconcile with someone, and yet not have trust with that person. But through hard work and commitment, trust can be restored. It's possible in Jesus. So again, we're reminded in the Lord's Prayer, Father, forgive us our trespasses, our debts, our sins. What? As we forgive those that sin against us. You want the Lord Jesus' forgiveness and you need it. You crave it, right? Then be a forgiver like he was, amen, right? And in the end of the day, there can't be any higher calling than to be considered and reckoned as forgiven, reconciled, and trusted sons and daughters of our Father who art in heaven, amen? All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thanks that we get to live in this beautiful place called the Bitterroot Valley. Thank you for each and every precious soul that is here this morning, as well as watching online. Lord, you know we struggle with forgiveness. We're very human. We are sinners in need of your grace, Jesus. Help us to be forgivers. Help us to know this, the preciousness and the beauty of forgiveness as a gift we give to others, as well as a gift we give ourselves. And may we be a radically forgiving church in all that we say and do. And we pray this always and only in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, saying, amen. Amen.